Welcome to episode 49 of the Island Green Golf Podcast. My God, Chris, I almost forget how to start this thing off. It's been a minute.
That's an appropriate number. The 49ers had a big night last night, getting Christian McCaffrey. We're on episode 49. I know it's a football reference, but here we are.
I don't know. You're not wrong, actually. That came through as I was watching the game. It was
way to pick the Saints.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, no problem.
It's been like 2 months since our last podcast. We pretty much just took advantage of the golfing season, and never really got together much.
I don't blame ourselves, but I blame ourselves between you traveling overseas, between a little thing called Fiona. No excuses, but yeah, we got to do better.
We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, we got lots of things to catch up on. And not the least of which, pretty exciting news. You are finally out of mom's basement, and looks like you got a little office there behind you.
This is true. I got the old the house is here, and it's nice that it closed 2 days before a hurricane. So welcome to Prince Edward Island.
I can, for those of everybody that doesn't know, Chris bought a home over in the Hillsborough Village there, and one of the selling reasons, one of the things he was looking for was a fenced-in yard. So we bought it. 2 days later, Hurricane Fiona came in, no more fence.
Our dog was very displeased with his now lack of access to freedom. Relatively speaking, though, we made off pretty well, except for the fence, of course, and insurance is helping us out there. But yeah, that was arguably the scariest night of my life.
It was. You know what? You're not wrong. I can't imagine. I can't think of too many other nights where I basically, you know, it was just wide-eyed the entire time, looking, you know, not even looking, like just sort of like eyes open, hoping my roof doesn't fall off.
Well, the weirdest thing is, I mean, if you're listening to the radio, we all knew it was coming. But for some reason, ignorant Chris, I'm like, it's just a little rainstorm. There'll be a little wind. Yeah. I really swept it under the rug. I mean, the radio was saying, you know, pack water for 3 days, you know, get your emergency kits ready. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. My California wife is like, oh my God, are we going to survive through this thing? I'm like, it's just going to be a storm. Relax. And it was terrifying. I mean, that being said, luckily, to the best of my knowledge, no real crazy injuries or deaths or anything like that. And
no,
the only real thing, getting back to what we talk about, is the tragedies that are happening out on the golf courses.
Well, and there was lots of that. We'll get to that in a second. I know that one of the bigger tragedies, what my kind of situation was like. So, of course, I get back from Ireland. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I immediately get COVID. I brought it back, you know, from Ireland or whatever. There was a couple of us on the trip that got it. And all I could think about was the fact that I was going to be playing in the Maritime Cup. A lot of our listeners are familiar with the Maritime Cup. All the different
Yorkie
provinces.
Runs out.
Yeah, Yorkie does a great job. And so anyway, I got asked to play. There was a bunch of folks that were playing in the Rose Bowl, and there was a bunch of, you know, like I didn't qualify in the top, I think 12 or whatever, but I was for a little bit further down. So anyway, I got asked because of dropouts. No problem. Still honored to be part of it. Really excited to go represent PEI. We're going to be heading to Hampton, Brunswick. I think it was Covered Bridge we were playing, and I was ready. I'm like, this is great. So now I have COVID. So now I feel like crap. Then the back gives out. And I'm like, oh my God, this is brutal. This is Monday, Tuesday. We're supposed to leave on Friday. So we're talking, and Wednesday I said, I might be out. Guys, I got COVID. And then I'm doing the math. They had recently updated the protocol so I could get out after 5 days. And I'm doing the math. And I'm like, I could be out on Friday. This is awesome. I could still make it, but the back's still sore. So I'm back and forth. Then Hurricane Fiona came into the picture. And I'm still thinking, you know what? I could still go. Like, you know, and I'm asking my wife, and God love Bernadette, she was like, you know what, this is great. You can go.
Why not? You just spent 10 days in Ireland. You brought her back COVID. Go away.
Okay, well, before I get to that quick sidebar on this, we'll get right back to it. But when I got asked to play in the Maritime Cup, I knew the dates, and they were following, you know what I mean, 10 days in Ireland, and then come back and immediately another weekend away for golf. And I was thinking, how do I approach this? So guys, listen up. This is how you do it. You basically become so excited and you say, oh my God, I have the opportunity to represent PEI at a golf tournament. She was so excited. I was so excited. And she was like, well, when is it? It's right after I get back from, Ireland. That's two big weekends. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We'll be fine. Wow. You owe me a dinner. And I'm like, done. So I had the hall pass.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're talking to our audience here. And let's just try to compare. How many people are in my shoes where we have a 40-hour week job and we're really fortunate if we get to play golf once a week? Like, I think that's the majority of people listening. And then you have you. And you have a different situation. Yes, you work very hard. You find a way to work it. But you golf more than anybody on the island isn't retired.
Debatable, but I am blessed. That's no question about it. So anyway, so I had the hall pass. So she's leading up. We're getting Fiona's updates, and we're looking at it. And she actually said to me, "I've gone through hurricanes before. It's not that big of a deal." And I'm like, great. All right, I'm starting to feel better. COVID's starting to get out of my system. The back's starting to heal up a little bit and making me feel I can move. And Friday morning, I'm waking up and I'm looking and we're kind of hemming and hawing. And I'm on the text with Tim and I'm like, geez, I don't know. And he doesn't know either because he doesn't know if he's going or not and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the decision was made because the weather updates were looking worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So difficult decision. Tim called it. There was a bunch of people that still wanted to go, but the decision was made that PEI wasn't going to go. And they still had it because they had people from Newfoundland and New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. Anyway, best decision that we could have made because there was Tim and Gabe. I mean, they had to be home for, Tim had to be home because apparently his house always floods or whatever. And so he had to make sure that the sub pump was. So he was very much on the fence. And there was a couple others, but anyway. Long story short, I was very, very glad to be at home because, I mean, Bernadette will tell you, she was absolutely terrified. She'd never had a night like that. It was like a jet was going through the roof for a sustained amount of, 11 hours or something. And we were petrified. And I'm sure I speak for, there was a whole bunch of people.
Island homes are resilient. You're used to 10 feet of snow. You're used to wind, but you're just not used to that. All the extra, just the trees falling and shingles falling and the destruction, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's so with the hurricane, I gotta obviously give a huge shout out to all of the supers and the staff, the greenskeepers, but excuse me, all the volunteers and everything, because it's incredible, man, that we were able to get back golfing for the most part, like the following week, if not like a little bit after that.
Incredible. I heard the premier the next day, and I'm sure many of you were just wondering for updates on what's going on. And I can't quote him perfectly, but it was the idea was the Islanders are strong. We're going to get back stronger than ever. We're going to support each other. And I don't think that is a definitely testament of what happened with the golf courses. Whether you're a member, you work at the golf course, you're a neighbor, all of them got together and they realized, let's get these golf courses back up to at least playing conditions again. Now, it didn't happen to all of them. Some of them did have to close for the season. But the majority... we're open relatively quickly thereafter, despite losing an amazing amount of trees and, as we saw, integral trees to the design of a lot of the golf holes. So props to everyone. Glad that the courses are open and can finish the season the way they can to those that could. And, of course, we probably should touch base on at least one of the courses that isn't going to be reopening.
Oh, they're going to be reopening. Oh, sorry. Well, I don't know which one you're referring to. Yeah, no, but... So we're going to have on a little bit later on Merlin Affleck, who is the owner GM of Stanhope Golf Course, kind of give us a little update for everybody that's a member there and for everybody that's wondering about it. So we're excited to have him talk for a few moments about sort of that whole situation. As we all know, their clubhouse is no longer a clubhouse, but we'll leave those updates for that. I was just kind of hoping that, you know, whoever decided to light the match out of Stanhope came and did the same thing at Belvedere. I don't know if they're up for hire. If you're listening, you know, reach out, a little private email, little, you know, let's see what happens. But, you know, we're dying for a new clubhouse at Belvedere. So
that could have been the excuse. It just didn't happen. Damn it all.
Rats. Well, it wasn't from lack of trying. My post about the tree on number 8 didn't work. Sure enough, it got the damn tree right next to it.
I think that's the only tree that survived, for God's sake. So, yeah.
Well, that's going to be an interesting decision because the one pretty much to the left of that covers between 2 and 8 did come down, which kind of opens up hole number 2's green. So, I don't know if there's what we're going to do there. But anyway, I think besides maybe Crowbush, and I haven't seen Green Gables. I heard about Green Gables, but Belvedere had to be one of the hardest hit as far as golf courses go. I played Avondale, I played Country View, and a couple of the others, and
we played Dunderave, we played Brudenell.
Yeah, that's right. Like, we played the ones up there, and of course, Brudenell lost its big tree on number 4. A lot of folks, if you haven't heard about that, that's the one really tough tee shot, dogleg left, par 5, and it's the one right in the middle of the fairway. You used to have to go around it on your tee shot, but that one is no longer there. So should be interesting to see what they do, if they do anything there. It's still a really tough tee shot, but kind of makes the hole a lot easier on that regard. I mean, for the most part, that one, maybe a couple others, but there wasn't a ton. Like, another one I'll mention is Country View behind the green, or to the right of green on 18. There was these pine trees. I think they were pine spruce. I don't know. Not an agronomist, but they had a bunch of trees that were gone there as well, and kind of changes what it looks like. And maybe if you hit one to the right, it kind of changes the play of it. But most of them, most courses, I mean, 4 at Brudenell is probably the worst one that I've heard. That's like a tree that you kind of thought was always going to be there, and changes the play of the course, but not a lot of them.
Prince Edward Islanders rejoice. Your handicaps are going to drop by 5 strokes because of all these trees. I mean, the courses will play a little easier. That's all jokes aside. But at the end of the day, maybe the courses or the superintendents have some ideas to make it get back to the way it was originally, bringing back in trees. That does happen.
So before we go any further, really, let's, like I said, it wasn't a long conversation, but I wanted to go into, now that it's at top of mind, let's go right into talking to Merlin. We'll see what he has to say about Stanhope, and we'll be right back.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by the GM of Stanhope. We, on the Island Green podcast here, kind of had a pretty eventful September, 1st of October. So please welcome Mr. Merlin Affleck. Merlin, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, Len. Thanks for having me on.
All thoughts were with you and all the members and the owners and everybody else there. Pretty much, I think, the most high profile, maybe Rustico got beat up pretty bad too, but kind of walk us through your experience with Hurricane Fiona and the aftermath.
Well, early Saturday morning, I got a text with a picture of what the amount of water that was in our parking lot, and then shortly after that, I got a phone call that our clubhouse was on fire.
Oh,
so I get in my car. I thought I'd get down there with keys. I might be able to open a door to let people, let firemen in. But when I got there, they were going across number 1 and number 9 fairway with the fire trucks. They couldn't get in our roadway. And I went in with the RCMP. We were only in there for about 1 minute. And then she said, "We're getting out of here," because at that time, the wind was coming straight up the bay. And the time we got out to the road, the firemen were following behind us. And then I pulled my car. I get in my car and pull it over by our entrance. And within a half an hour, the clubhouse was just a blaze, just one big inferno. So the wind definitely made the Fiona itself, made everything go that much faster than a normal fire, I guess.
Accelerated everything.
Accelerated everything, yeah, for sure. The firemen, they, with the smoke blown right into their where they were parked. They had to get out of there. They even lost a couple of hoses. They had to get out that fast. So it was amazing how quick it went from one small fire to an inferno.
And I mean, when you went out there, just out of curiosity, like, what was it not right in the middle of the hurricane?
It was pretty well there.
Or this was this morning.
This was around 10. This would be at about quarter after 11 in the morning when I went there. So lots of down power lines and trees across the roads because at that time everybody was told to stay home. But I thought, well, I got to go just in case getting in can help. So, but as soon as we got there, I realized that it didn't, you know, the upstairs was all smoke. There was nobody going inside that building. So
one of the things I was wondering about, and I mean, obviously, like, things can be replaced, you know, materials, buildings get rebuilt. I was curious as to, you guys were lucky enough to have club storage underneath. I remember it was awesome down there. Did many members have their clubs go up in flames?
We had about approximately 16 members and staff that lost their golf clubs. And
Shannon
unfortunately
doesn't need his anyway.
no, he doesn't need his till the spring for sure. So it was about 16 people lost their clubs. Unfortunately, yeah, that was a sad part.
Yeah, that's
including myself.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But I got my bullseye putter reconstructed. I found another one, so I'm good.
Everything else can be reconstructed.
We were talking
briefly, and you know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot or anything, but when we were talking at the Glasgow that day, you were about to have a phone call with Golf Canada. How did that go?
Not very good. Unfortunately, when it's a mass fire like that, and Golf Canada's, you know, with since then I've had two meetings with them by Zoom, and Jeff Hunt with our maritime rep. But the Golf Canada insurance program is one program that's supposed to help people. If they don't have home insurance, if something happens to their golf clubs, like if something was stolen or broken, or you hit a car or broke a window, you know, or had some damage to a golf car on the golf course. But when it's a mass, like, well, 16 sets was not as bad as some places, I guess, across Canada. But a few years ago, Bell Bay burnt, and there was apparently they recited a couple other places across Canada that burnt, and they do not cover in a situation that, like, we had, like a fire.
Like a total loss like that.
So most of our members are we're going through their home insurance for clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not stored there permanently. They're only stored there, you know, occasionally. And some take them, you know, home. They play golf somewhere else. They come back and put them in, and then they're there for a week or so, and then they take them again. So Golf Canada has given us a little bit of a credit on our dues and our club, which our club membership, which will help that we'd be able to give each person maybe close to what they might have to pay for their deductible. That's what I've got confirmed. So that'll help. So that will go towards their membership for 2023 when they go to pay up their membership. They will have a small credit or a credit for approximately what they paid for their deductible. And again, some people have $500 deductible, and I had another member said that they had $1,000 deductible on their insurance, and they had old clubs, so they might not be going through it. But
might be time for an upgrade anyway.
Yes.
Listen, what, I mean, obviously, I'm sure a lot of Stanhope members and general population are kind of wondering, you know, otherwise next year. I'm assuming that the golf course, you know, it's obviously not reopening for this year. I mean, we're at the end of the, even though it doesn't seem like it outside right now, we're at the end of the season. But what's going on for next year? Do you have any sort of plans yet for what's going to happen next year?
The board of directors, Stanhope has 9 families involved in the club, and each family has a director, and we've met twice, and I've been stated to myself that to anybody asked that Stanhope will be building a new clubhouse.
Nice.
It might not be there for 2023, but it will be there for 2024, and we will have whatever we need next spring to accommodate our guests, our members, and our guests, and our community. So we have 50 new drive cars ordered. We might not have them in right in the spring, but we have access to other golf cars that we will have on hand. So it's just 2023. We will not have the clubhouse that we had in the past, but we will have something in the parking lot or
Obviously, buildings don't get built that quickly, but there's got to be planning and all the rest of it. I know Belle Bay operated for what, 1 or 2 seasons with a temporary clubhouse,
and they Belle Bay. I've talked to Chris Irwin. Belle Bay actually are still in the trailer that they started with after their fire, and they added on a deck to it. And right at the moment, I'm not sure what their plans are, but so we'll have something that. Like just what I mentioned, having a deck outside, when it's nice, and we will likely have some kind of accommodations for people to come in and have a cool one after their game. And we'll definitely have, we had the new beverage cart ordered for 2023 anyway, so that'll be well put to use next year.
Well, geez, barbecues happen outside, and there's nothing like a beer outside anyway. So I think the members will probably enjoy that anyway.
We have a good spot on our number 5 tee off that's accessible. Number 5, number 12 washrooms, and possibly we could end up doing something there on weekends. We will see it that the members are looked after, and our guests and our tournaments also. We might not be able to have a sit down meal in the clubhouse, but we'll have to be able to feed them out on the golf course, and they, most of them are groups that are returning will understand and be back in 2023.
Yeah, no question. Everybody's going to adapt. And I know everybody sort of understands the situation. Other than the clubhouse, how did the rest of the course fare out?
Well, since we closed on the 24th, we just had one spectacular month of weather. And I just took some pictures yesterday off our fairways, and it looked like they're just the lushest I've ever seen them. The golf course itself, we have a few holes that have changed immensely. Our number 4 corner lost a lot of trees. Our number 5 woods, left and right, lost a lot of trees. Our numbers between the trees that we planted in 92, the pine, to give definition on number 7 and 8, plus safety, I would say we lost 2/3 of those. And just continues right from the, basically right from the first hole to the, the 18th hole didn't get hurt. Reggie's tree, that it's number 18 is still standing, and their 3 sisters and number 12 are still standing, but there's a lot more. But the holes like 14 to the left, the water's pretty visible now. 15 is basically, you can go right or left now, but it's always better to be in the middle of the fairway, but we don't have the big tree on the left and the big trees on the right. So we lost a lot. Well, actually, this will be 5 weeks, and our crew has done nothing in 5. Well, we cut the fairways and the greens a little bit and the tees, but other than that, they've been cutting trees and hauling trees, and now our next adventure will be trying to get rid of what we cut down or pull to a certain spot. We have 6 areas in the golf course that we pull the trees to, and then after we get rid of the trees, the chore will be to get rid of our stumps, whether it will be some grinding and some getting pulled out and then getting filled in. But it will be a slow process. But the golf course itself, the fairways, the greens, and the tees, we'll see how they come out in the spring. But I've never seen them looking better than they are right now.
I know. It's crazy how a couple of weeks, I know the courses that I've played, after that were able to get reopened, they had about a week or a little bit over a week, and it's incredible just the difference that a week of growth and sun will do in the middle of a season.
Like our number 3 tee, it's wedge shot for a lot of people. That takes the most pounding in regards to get divots going, and then
like I was in the other day, looking at the trees behind the tee, seeing what we might do with them. And number three tee is just spotless. It's just amazing how quickly it recovers. As you say, 2 weeks of no play, and we have 4 weeks, or well, 5 weeks now of no play. So
yeah. Round three, as you mentioned, that one was always kind of, because it was all shaded in, I'm assuming, it would always kind of slow to regrow. Has the round there kind of opened up? Like in a lot of spots, I was in a couple of spots in Belvedere. I noticed there was a lot of, more sunlight getting at the fairways, and it could almost be a good thing, in a lot of ways, more airflow and sunshine. Is that kind of the case in some spots?
For sure. I think the biggest, there's two areas that it's going to be. Number five, for instance, if you're on the little left of the fairway, a little right of the fairway, those two areas were covered in pretty well by shade. So I'm thinking that those areas will be a lot thicker in the future because of the amount of trees that we lost or the height. Again, Fiona took all the high trees and just turn them into kindling, like, and flip them over like nothing, and where the other smaller trees are standing. But so it will definitely benefit some areas of the golf course. I mean, you'll be able to see where trees should be planted, where trees should not be planted. So then we'll look at that before we do replant. We will be replanting for a while. As I said, the trees that were between number 7 and 8, I was involved putting them in 1992, so they're 30 years old, and they were about 4 years old when we put them in, and they were pretty nice-looking trees. So it's going to take a while to get back to where we were, but we will be working on it steadily to do that.
Well, like you said, everybody kind of wants to look at some positives, and I know, hey, listen, you said that number 4 corner kind of thinned out. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are kind of, not too upset about that.
no, it is a tough hole, so... And number 11, the hedgerow along, we had planted pine trees on the left, just trying to steer people over to the right. But our tree line along 11 is pretty well gone. So that has made a difference in that hole. That's maybe one of the biggest difference. It will be, I think, maybe a little easier than what it was in the past because the way the green's tucked in. And now it's going to be more accessible for sure.
Do you think, like, for year one next year, like, do you think places will kind of maybe take a little bit of a planning approach? Like, for example, trees are down, so they might, I know people don't like adding bunkers anymore because it's adding maintenance, but will there be some sort of redesigning or maybe some, thought going into adding some sort of, obstacles or, making it a little bit challenging, or you're kind of limited?
Yeah, let's just take our number 4, for instance. Sometimes if somebody that can hit a high ball will take the corner where another person can't, that made that hole a little dangerous at times. You're definitely going to be able to see the golfers in front of you. It's going to make that hole safer. Number 5, the people might get a little braver on that one because before the woods was pretty high. And, it was easier to hit out of the middle of the fairway up past the corner than it was out of the trees. But I think that hole there, so we will be just stressing next year, people, take a look before you hit, if you're going to try to be a little braver than you normally were, just for safety's sake.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, my friend, I've taken up a lot of your time here, and I really appreciate you jumping on and kind of giving people an update on Stanhope. Yeah. Are you taking off? You're going to go golfing here this afternoon or what? It's beautiful.
No, actually, I got a couple of reports to do to get done. We're trying to get, at present, we're trying to get some bids in to clean up our clubhouse. We have permission to clean up the debris from the fire and fill in the site a bit. So we'd like to get that done as soon as possible. It's hard right now due to the fact that all our contractors are busy with working other areas from Fiona. But as I said, Stanhope owners are looking to put another clubhouse back where it was in some sort because Stanhope, again, has grown immensely in the last 3 years, and we just want to keep that growth going. So
I got to keep the momentum going for sure.
Keep the momentum going, yeah. So,
all right, my friend. Well, listen, thanks again for joining us. Good luck over the winter months. Keep busy, and I'm sure you're going to have a very anxious membership get back in the in the spring there, and hopefully an early opening.
Okay, Len, thanks for having me on again. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Thanks now.
Yeah, big thanks for Merlin to coming on and giving us an update. Nice to have, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Good to hear. Good to hear stand-up's coming better than ever.
Yeah.
In good hands with Merlin there.
Yeah. I mean, they just had just did a lot of work on their parking lot. And yeah, so I mean, obviously next year, temporary, you know, structure, but they've done it before. I remember when Belle Bay, his clubhouse burned down, they had a over in Cape Breton there. They had a temporary for a little while. You make it work. That's what we do.
Uh-huh.
But moving on from that, I guess before we go into sort of a little bit of recap on my Dublin and Ireland vacation, we are kind of approaching the end of the golfing season. We got a chance, Chris, to play in a tournament. There's all these. This is scramble, funny season. What do they call it?
Silly season.
Yeah, thank you. Silly season. And we got to play a couple scrambles, and
I love this time of year in Prince Edward Island. I see the value in Anderson's Creek was, I think, the first one I saw. You know, you go and spend $70 in the pro shop, and you get to play for free. We played in the Epic. And if I'm right, Lennon, you can correct me. It's just kind of an idea of getting people there, mostly locals, get rid of some inventory before they have to hold on for the winter, and then just kind of have some fun knowing that the weather won't be potentially 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, it's great. I mean, I got to play in the fall finish with my buddy Andrew Dunning. We got to play in the Epic with yourself. I played in there's a Luke Allen Memorial with was kind of like a Ryder Cup thing, which was really fun. I'll kind of go into sort of each one. I mean, the fall finish being the first one, 3 days, obviously Crowbush really got hit hard. It's not clear what's going to happen next year, because I haven't been out, I haven't seen photos, but I've heard that it got decimated by Fiona, and there's two holes that are basically out of commission. So I don't know what's going to happen there. So long story short, they weren't open this year, reopening this year. So we played Brugnell twice and Dunderave once, and three rounds, two-man scramble. The first two rounds are basically seeding rounds, and the final round is your there's three different divisions. And anyway, it's a ton of fun. And I, like many others, as soon as I was done, we didn't play that well. So I just hopped in the car and came home.
Normally you guys would spend the night out there as well, right?
We were going to, actually. Yeah. We had Scott Morton was kind of spearheading trying to get us out there, and we had a spot booked, but they didn't have power. And it was going to be, who was it? Scott, Pudge, Gormley, myself, Murph, and Dunning. I might be forgetting somebody. We were all going to spend the night out there, the Saturday night. A lot of people still did. The rooms opened up at Brugnell, but they were also housing the, all the
Maritime Electric people.
Yeah. So obviously a lot of rooms got bumped and all the rest of it. So anyway,
if you didn't give them priority, shame. They deserve a nice room at the Rod. So good on you.
Absolutely. But I think what ended up happening is rooms opened up because it was Thanksgiving weekend. So a lot of these folks did go home for the long weekend.
Right.
So
good for them.
Anyway, it was a fantastic weekend. I'm trying to remember who took it down. I think something tells me maybe it was Joey and Cackles I guess congrats to the winners. I can see if I can find it here while we're talking, but next one, Chris, what did you think of the Epic?
Listen, thank you, co-host brother, who accepted my invitation to play in this. 36 holes in one day. My body is not made for that at all. However, to play in the event, I mean, usually, as I used to run golf events, and I would just ask one question at the end, would you play again next year? And I 100% would sign up to play in this next year, because it was a lot of fun. I can find a new partner. The competitive curry juices are always there, whether you like it or not. I was so pleased that we didn't have to play alternate shot until our third format, and I'm glad it still really didn't matter. And I obviously cost the team a few strokes there, but what a lot of fun. And we did finish top 10. So, yes, there were only 10 teams in the whole of it. No, I'm just kidding. There was 68 teams, and we were top 10. I think we did pretty damn good.
I have no problem with that at all. And I will say that that was a fun, fun day. The four different formats, I mean, we kind of got the luck of the draw having alternate shot pretty much our last full nine of format.
Agreed. I was so stressed. Like, if that was my first shot of the day, it wouldn't have gone well. I needed to have a few beverages, just to keep the momentum going. Like I said, it didn't matter though, because we were three over after the first two holes of alternate shot. But then we settled down a little bit. You started driving par four greens. We made a couple birdies and alternate shot. That's no joke. We did well.
We did do well. We did do well. No complaints. I did find the fall finish results, and I was right. Joey and Jeff McCachran took her down the overall at 11 under on the final day. Shot 61 at Brunel on the final day on the Rod Hotel and Resorts flight, which is the number one flight. Roddy Willis and Chris Taylor finished second. Then we'll go to the Molson Brewery flight, which is the second, maybe the first division. Jerry LeBlanc, Jerry, and Blair McPhail were 8 under. They won by 3, sandbagging bastards. And Jeff Hughes and Kevin Tucker finished second.
That's not fair. You can't call them sandbaggers if they flight it based on the first 2 days.
I can call them whatever.
Take it back.
I can call them whatever I want. And then the third division, Peter Douglas and Kevin Clark, 2-shot victory at 4 under. Jacques Bourque and Bernie Richard also. And there was a couple others, Brad Campbell, Stephen Stewart, Jonathan Denton, and Robert Azevedo. They also finished tied for second, but retrogression gave Jacques the second prize. But anyway.
What is the format there? Three rounds? Is it scramble or?
It's 2-man scramble, 3 rounds. And like I said, they flight them after the first two rounds. They got close to the pinholes or close to the pin. They got, they do a great job. The big thing, though, is the skins game. The skins game's huge.
Yeah. Well, you got to hold one from the fairway or something magical's got to happen usually.
The first 2 days, there was one skin out both days. And so the first day.
Don't say the amount, the loser amateur status. Just tell me what the
one. I won't. But it was significant. There was only one skin in the entire tournament out on the first day, which was Chance McIntyre and Connor Shea. Homers. Anyway, they took that down, and then on the second day there was only one, and my good buddy Scott Morton and Darren Martel, they took the skin down. And then the third day, there's 3 divisions and skins in each division, so it's a little bit more watered down typically. But anyway, yeah. So that was it's one I always looking forward to. Anyway,
so let me get this straight: a 2-person scramble format, 11 under par won it.
Correct.
Is that what you said?
But it's 1 day.
Okay.
Actually, that's a great question. I wonder if you counted up all 3 rounds. What would be? I think Chance and Connor would probably have won it if that was the case. But no, they everything resets after the second. Well,
that makes me feel a little better. 11 under, 118 all around. That's great, because in the Epic, the winning team completely destroyed all the other teams, and they shot 11 under over 36 holes with alternate shot under par in every format. Dustin Whitfield and Colby Bent. So props to them. That's some crazy good shooting.
Yeah, that is actually. I think I remember the first year that it happened. Scott Morton and I won the Chapman format, and then, what did we finish? We finished T9, Chris. T9.
I said top 10. What the hell's that? Yeah, okay. T9.
I'll take T9.
We got a red number there too, 33. So that would have been our scramble, highlighted by a putt off the green eagle. Anyway, we could just go on forever. it was nice to see everyone after the round have a beer afterwards in the clubhouse, and we still. I'm just kidding. It was just us. Like, does everybody go home?
I think we actually finished. That was quick. We played.
Were we early?
Well, I mean, I think for 36 holes, we weren't 8 hours. I don't think. Like, we, because I mean, obviously the formats are quick, right? Alternate shot, you only got two balls in play, and then if it's the two man better ball is like standard play, but then even two man scramble is fairly easy. You know, to pretty quick to play, because it's not like you're choosing four different tee shots or waiting. It's anyway. But yeah, so anyway, those were two real fun ones. And then getting to the next one that I had an absolute blast playing in, I never got to play in it last year. The Luke Allen Memorial was held last weekend as well. And so the first day they had a 36 hole, they had a four man scramble at Belvedere, and due to Fiona and stuff, I don't think they had it last year. They had it at two or three different venues. They'll probably be back to that next year. But this year they had it at Belvedere, and I guess it was a really exciting finish. The boys had to birdie the final hole to get into a playoff, and then there was a playoff. And I'm trying to remember, I know it was Jamie McIntyre, Tyler Murphy, John Walsh, and shit, I'm forgetting the fourth person. I apologize. Anyway, they took down the scramble tournament. It might come to me here in a little bit. Anyway,
really got to work on your preparation for these bots.
I never thought
if we're going by memory, we're toast.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So Jamie told me that. I can find that too.
So that was held at Belvedere?
It was. And
but that really, was over the, it was a weekend. It wasn't on the Monday. I thought you were playing something on the Monday after the Epic. I must be going crazy.
No.
It was Sunday.
Anyway, but I got asked to play on Sunday, and there was a couple other tournaments, a couple other scrambles around as well. But on this Sunday, they had kind of like a 20-man Ryder Cup, and it was really cool because there was a bunch of guys that I had never met before. They were all coming from New Brunswick, and most of them were Luke Allen's classmates. He went to the golf program back in like, I don't even know. I'm not even going to guess what year it was, because all these guys are young fellas and I'm an old guy. But a lot of them came over and they played this 20-man Ryder Cup. So I got teamed up, or I got kind of sent out to play against my buddy Tyler Murphy for 9-hole singles. And then you played 9 holes better ball with whoever you were in your group. So it was 4 people. Really cool format. Murph drained a 55-foot eagle putt. On the number eight to take a 1-up lead, which I was just disgusted with because I was in tighter for my eagle putt and missed it. But that's just what that guy does. He is a pro level putter. I will say this: when he gets on the greens and gets rolling, he is pro level. Anyway,
big old Murph.
I will argue that to the day I die. And then of course they got us on the better ball as well. It was myself and Cole Haas versus Jamie McIntyre and Tyler Murphy. But best part was, it's Ryder Cup format, baby. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But we won the Ryder Cup, the Luke Allen Memorial Cup, I guess, in a playoff. And I got to drink out of it with the beer. And
you contributed nothing, no points, and you get to drink out of it. Way to go.
All right. So would you say the same thing to Tiger Woods when he was playing? You know, his Ryder Cup record's not great. You're going to walk up to him and say, you contributed nothing, Eldrick.
You know what? It's a little different with Eldrick, because he would take a really good player from the other squad, win or lose. Can you say you took Murph on?
Arguably the hottest player on the golf course. The guy can fight like a madman. Arguably, I would say.
Good anyway, for you. Good
that
win.
That was unreal, and it was so awesome. We had a bunch of Luke's family there. They were taking pictures. And anyway, I hope I get an opportunity to play again in it next year, because anytime you can get like a Ryder Cup type format, unbelievable. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, see, I got my dates mixed up. See, I thought you were playing in a tournament, and then a little picture flashed about someone getting a hole in one, which I was really excited about. But I guess that was just a Monday group.
Monday group. Second last Monday group of the year.
Big shout out. Give it to them.
Gotta give it
big
a shout
sponsor,
out.
Big sponsor, supports everything.
Everyone's favorite. Well, yeah, I guess he's retired now, but what a career. And he's just, somebody told me it was his first hole in one. I can't believe that. I have to verify.
Oh, I agree. I wouldn't believe that as well, but no. He Al celebrates. Stewart. Al Stewart, he celebrates after every round like he got at least 3 hole in ones. At least he did back in the day when I was a bartender at Belvedere. This is going back. He was my favorite customer and just a great guy, nice guy, friend of the family, and props to him.
Unbelievable. Like,
and whole and seven.
Whole seven. And, yeah. You know, yes, the boys play from the whites. I mean, obviously, you know, like they're it's an older group for the most part. And what's really funny is I was in the league group. They were playing four-man scramble. It was, anyway, and we're on hole 10. Hole 10 looks kind of, you look over to the right and you can see hole 7. So I look over and they're taking group pictures. And
oh, you're up on the green looking back.
I was on the green on 10 and looking back at 7. And I'm looking at them and of course, it's Monday group. So all we do is abuse one another. So of course, I just say, hey boys, you better back up a little bit. There's no way you're getting those four big bodies into that camera frame. Yeah. You know, like you take a little bit of a chirp. Then they switch up and they take another photo. And all I can, and it never, and I'm flabbergasted that it never even included, why are they taking pictures? I never even clued in. I was thinking maybe like it's the last round of the year possibly for them all. Like, I don't know, but I never clued in. And I'm walking down hole 12 and somebody said, yeah, Al Stewart, ace number 7. And I went, oh, okay.
Makes a little sense there, COVID brain.
I think I'll have another beer and just shut up. Yeah, no, 100% COVID brain.
That would have been a big tab afterwards, I think. I should have made my way over there. Props to Belvedere for letting that know, like, live. Like, you could have made your way over to the bar afterwards and had a beverage.
Oh, man. So I had a board meeting at 5 o'clock. We tee off at 1.
Ouch.
We got around really quick. We were done in three and a quarter hours. And so, of course, board meeting, I'm going on, and all I'm doing, every so often, I look back, and there's all the guys are on the deck, and they're just giving her with the beers and everything else. And I'm like, God darn it, that's where I want to be.
A couple days later, longtime member, also Bobby McGee got a hole in one.
Yeah, there was a bunch.
Do you know Bobby?
I do know Bobby McGee.
Yeah.
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 That's not his first one either, I don't think.
Oh, I completely agree. That probably wouldn't be his first. He plays a lot of golf.
So yeah, so all of that was kind of going on in the golf world, but then coming up now we've got, you know, it's
more events.
Well, yeah, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here with a lot of the courses are closing either on after this weekend or I think Belvedere staying up till the 31st. But
yeah, Belvedere just posted 10 more days, so yeah, 31st Halloween will be the last day or somewhere. Yeah, there.
And then we got. I haven't gotten the closing dates of some of the others, you know, all depending on the condition. And the weather's been so great, you know, like it should almost be a variable thing. Like, don't put it set in stone. Just kind of get a couple frost days or get a couple of days where it's just kind of crap. And then
it's tough as a player, right?
As
a player, it's very easy. As a team that knows they have a closing date, it's really tricky for staff. It's just staff, right? Whether it be the people cutting the greens. You know, they have their plans or they have their next jobs or they're going back to school or doing whatever. But I don't disagree. Same thing out west. And it's really tough to get a closing date sometimes.
So, yeah. So anyway, but the ones that are coming up, we've got the Iron Fox at Fox Meadow. I'm playing in that tomorrow with Dunning. See if we can do a little bit of redemption.
That's good. Spread your partners out. You can't always partner with your brother. So good on you.
Yeah.
Mix it around.
The Belvedere Tough Persons on Sunday morning.
Way to go to be politically correct, Belvedere. None of that Iron Man bullshit. That? Belvedere Tough Person.
Well, I mean, they want the female golfers there.
I love it.
There could be some. I don't know. I don't love it. I think that's stupid. Nobody thinks like tough man and gets offended because they're calling it man. Like,
listen, yes, they do. Yes, well, they do.
It's stupid if you do, because it's certainly not offensive.
What if it was Belvedere Tough Princess? Would you play in that event?
I wouldn't care. I'd wear a tutu as long as I could take home the trophy at the end of the day.
There you go. Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, it just tough man just kind of rolls off. Anyway, it doesn't matter, I guess. I don't know. People get offended. Jeez, big surprise. It's 2022. Oh, I'm offended. So we got the tough person. I've been playing with Mark Smallwood.
Nobody's tougher than Pecker. And I love him. He knows how to camp.
And then the following weekend we have the Glasgow Hills. They're having the King of the Hill, which is typically
Queen of the Hill.
Yep.
I'm offended.
No, okay, yeah. we're not that type of pod, but yeah, this is the year. Play the course in tough conditions. See what you can do. Are they 4-person, 2-person scrambles?
Well, it's, you know, it's King of the Hill, so they're gonna have, you know, it's a tough person out there, so they're pretty much gonna have the same pins that they did at their event in June and July. I heard the pins were kind of crazy then, so you know, we'll see what happens. But
it takes very little to make Anderson's Creek. It's Anderson's Creek or Glasgow?
No,
Hills?
It's Glasgow. It's Glasgow,
Glasgow Hills. Yeah. That's what. Sorry, I actually said that earlier. Glasgow Hills can play tough. All those greens.
Oh yeah, big time. They don't need to do much, actually.
Yep.
You know what? And I'm just thinking about that. And they're actually known as having really great prizes at Glasgow. And it's been kind of on top of mind here because some of the tournaments, it's weird. Some of the tournaments offer great prizes. Some of them are diluted prizes. Some of them just suck. And when I say suck, it's like they just don't give back to the fields. And these are, I don't know, man. I want to see some sort of revamp on this stuff because you've got an Ohio.
Oh, you do. What do you want? Another sleeve of Pro Vs?
No, I don't get the prizes, but listen, I know the folks that do.
When I run events or when I ran events.
Before you say anything else, just before you know, there is a huge difference between the Island Open prizes and some of the other tournaments that go on. And I just don't understand why that is. That's all I'm saying.
Which is better, the Island Open or the other event? Is the Island Open good
Island
at prizes?
Island Open's unbelievable prizes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, unbelievable prizes. And it's known for it. And they get people in there. And what I think ends up happening, in all honesty, is that Belvedere donates what would usually go towards a green fee to the tournament, in all honesty. So, like, for example, like, say your entry fee is $120 or whatever. I don't think Belvedere, and I could be wrong, I haven't talked to Jeff, and I don't know but I think that they basically say, okay, well, that $120, $20 is going to cover meal or whatever, but they're going to maximize as much as they possibly can to the prize pool. And I don't think others do that. And maybe they can't afford to do that. Maybe they'd not have a tournament if they had to do that, or if it was something that people were complaining about. I don't know. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm going to give you an example, and I'm going to call it out here. So we won... Steve Anderson and I won the early bird tournament. You know, it's the first big tournament of the year. Yes, it's not a PEIGA thing or anything else like that. And we both got a $110 gift card for merchandise at Brunel d'Andereve.
Each? And,
yes.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's a full field, and it's not that good. But
the reason is,
well, if it's only $10 more than the guys we battled for, like, second place got 100 each. Third place got like 90, like whatever. The reason that they do that is they have 4 divisions and they pay like 8 in each division. So their strategy is pay out more to more teams, right?
Yep.
I get that. I really do. Like, if that's what keeps your field and your tournament filling up, then that's great. But I don't know, man. Like, you win the tour. Like, we battled with Dave Shellington and Jamie Vesey, and we were like, yes, finally. We had some breathing room coming down. We had like two shot lead coming into the final hole, and we're like, at the end of the day, it was for a $10 difference. We loved it because we got the trophy. We were holding. We got pictures, and it was like my first win of like I was so pumped.
Yep,
it was unbelievable. But then the value of the gift card, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Like, it was barely the entry fee. In fact, I don't even know if it was.
Well, again, I ran tournaments, okay? Yeah. And we did a lot of events, and it comes down to only one question, okay? You're miffed at prizes. Well, not really. You're disappointed, I guess. Will you play it again?
Of course I will.
And that's all that matters, because there's a bunch of people playing in that event that don't have a chance of winning, obviously, if you're going 8 divisions.
Yeah.
But you ask them, are you going to play again? Absolutely. I spent $100 or whatever it was. I got a round of golf or two. I don't even know the format of the event. And I won a prize. I'm coming back. I started putting a lot more emphasis in the tea gift that everyone got versus the overall prizes at the end, trying to spread the wealth, because as the island is very small, there's probably only 4 or 5 teams that have a legitimate chance of winning. You could debate me on that or not. But then there's a whole 80 other players that want to play in the event and maybe have a chance to sniff something. I don't know. I can debate both things. And
you know
then
that's a great point, Chris. And I think that if they did,
one more thing.
Okay,
If you got a $250 gift card, does that really change what Letty, like, oh, great, now what am I going to spend on that? Like, a lot of people have difficulty even spending anything in pro shops because they have everything they need.
Okay, fine. And that's fair. If it was, by the way, $250, I think would have been a great prize. you know, by the way, side note. But the thing is I love your idea. And if the goal is to have as many people, make it a fantastic first tee gift. If you're going to be given that many prizes down, like go 4 divisions, 8 prizes, great. We'll stop doing that. Pay the top 5 even, because once you get to 8, you're not expecting a prize anyway. But then maybe the first tee gift is a little bit better. It was a little disappointing. And to your point about will you go back? Yeah, absolutely, I'll go back. However, if there was another tournament that you knew kind of had better prizes, or it was structured that it was,
and it was on the same weekend or something like that, you debate it.
There might have been a conversation being had, and like this isn't a knock on anything other than just the prize format. The tournament, there's no better tournaments that are run than the provincial golf tournaments. Every time you get up there, your carts are ready, your scorecards are in there. There's an announcement made before you head on the golf course. There's people around everywhere helping you. Oh my God, the guy, remember the guy that was in the shuttle that was going back and forth
at the Epic?
Yeah.
Like, he was brilliant.
What a beauty. You guys were
dumb and dumber quotes. What a great way to start the day. Well, that guy over there is Seabass.
And I definitely don't want this to, like, I'm sure that maybe people will end up telling folks about what we're talking about here. But this is not like, I'm not one of these guys that I'll never go back or anything else like that. Like, it's all about, this is the feedback, and I'm not alone. Like, it's not, this is just not my opinion. Like, I talked to a lot of people about it and they're like, geez, that's crazy. So anyway,
I'll be the contrarian as well. You absolutely made a really good point. $110 to $100, because you know that sometimes that does sound a little silly. So I'll be on your side there. In fact, you guys get the trophy, you get the pictures, you get all the glory because you won. Yeah. But it can be revisited for sure.
Anyway, that's just the thing. It's like, hopefully you want full fields, and you want people out. So anyway, listen, let's save. We've been going on here for a while. Let's save the Dublin for our next step. And we've got some football news. We got everything. Let's kind of, let's not talk about it all right now.
Let's not peek early.
I don't.
Let's just tease them a little bit. Let's flirt a little bit.
And to be honest, I know that we say this every episode, but now that golf season is winding down, we're going to find ourselves a little bit more free time. We'll be watching some more sports and all the rest of it. So hopefully
we'll hopefully be able to.
Here we go. All right, my man, listen, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to get back to work because apparently I don't work enough, and you can do the same.
Thank you to Merlin for taking some time, giving us an update, and thanks, Lenny, and until next time.
All right.
Keep it to the short stuff.
Oh, geez, nice sign off.